Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus is alive. Amen. This is TH-102, week 2, class 3. I'm picking up here on page 3 in your syllabus. God has designed order concerning spiritual gifts. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, it says there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, this particular verse is speaking of the gifts that are administered and managed by the Holy Spirit. These gifts are specifically identified in 1 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. It says, "For to one is given by the Spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally, as he will." Now let me just give you a little bit of background here as to what was going on in the Corinthian church. It wasn't a matter of the gifts not manifesting. The gifts were manifesting. The problem is there was a lot of division in that church. You go back and start reading in chapter 1 and work your way up to chapter 12, you can see this. And Paul is he's correcting, in the book of 1 Corinthians, he's not correcting sin as much as he is correcting wrong doctrine. Because remember, at the very beginning of this book, in chapter 1, Paul writes about how some people say that, you know, "I'm of Apollos, and I'm of Peter," or Cephas, you know, "and I'm of Apollos, and Paul, and I'm of Christ." In other words, there's all this division that's going on there in this particular church. And here's the thing. We know that the apostles all preached and taught the same doctrine. How do we know that? Well, you go back in Acts, and you begin to read about how that, and you can see this over in Galatians too, how that the apostles all got together, and at one point in time, Paul met with them, and they all discussed what they were teaching, and they were all teaching the exact same thing. In other words, when Paul is writing in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 about these people saying, "Well, I'm of Paul, I'm of Apollos, I'm of Christ, I'm of Cephas," and so forth, in other words, what these people were doing, they're divided by doctrine. And let's just say, you know, one's preaching and teaching a doctrine that you can't wear a necktie. Another one's preaching and teaching a doctrine that you have to wear a necktie. Another one's preaching and teaching a doctrine that women can't cut their hair. Another one's preaching and teaching a doctrine that you can't wear jewelry. Now, I'm just using these as examples. That's not what they were preaching. And they're saying, "Well, I got this from Paul. I heard Paul preach this. I heard Peter preach this. I heard Apollos preach this. Well, I prayed and I got this from Jesus." Do you see what I'm saying? In other words, they're trying to substantiate their wrong doctrine by saying that these guys agree with them. The thing is, if they really had gotten it from Paul, Apollos, Cephas, Christ, they'd all be preaching the same thing because Christ isn't divided. In other words, Christ did not give a teaching to Paul and a teaching to Peter and a teaching to Apollos and to the others and so forth. Everybody got the same thing. And so Paul is trying to correct this doctrine. These people are all divided. However, gifts were still manifesting. And one of the issues that he was dealing with in this particular church had to do with pride. So what's happening is, listen, and this still goes on today, one of the best ways to get promoted by man is to have the gifts of the Spirit start operating in your services when you preach. Think of it this way. How many of you have ever, either you've done this or you know of people who have done this, did you know that Brother so-and-so is coming to town, going to be holding a meeting over here at this such-and-such church? Oh, I want to go see that. I want to go be there for the services because, you know, the gifts operate. You ever heard that? In other words, if gifts are operating, people will come. That's what was happening here in the Corinthian church. Some gifts were operating. Let me just share. There is a difference between the operation of gifts and doing the works. Such as I have, give I thee. In other words, if I have it, I'm not standing around dependent on a gift manifesting by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. I'm operating by the anointing of Christ in my life, such as I have, not such as I hope will manifest when I preach by a gift, such as I have. And what's happened, though, is that as far as full gospel circles, Pentecostals, whatever, we focused on a manifestation of gifts as opposed to operating in the works. And there is a huge difference. Well, here he says, what he's trying to do is explain to these people what's going on as far as a manifestation of gifts is concerned. And he says, look, in verse 8, and this is a list of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, the further we get into this course and future courses, you're going to understand why it is that when some people have preached and taught that the gifts of the Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or no, let me say this differently, that there are other gifts of the Holy Spirit identified in other books of the New Testament, you're going to know how that's wrong. This right here is a list of the gifts of the Spirit. Now, as we go further into this, you're going to understand. And really, you already know the key to confirming this one way or the other, praying in the Spirit. Because He will confirm or deny what you're hearing. Here in this list, for to one is given by the Spirit. Listen, just because the Bible says something is a gift, it doesn't mean it's a gift of the Spirit that should fit into this category. Okay? He is specifically identifying the gifts of the Spirit. For to one is given the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge. Now notice closely what he's saying here. It is the word of wisdom. It is the word of knowledge. It is not the gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge. Do you see this? Have you ever heard people say, well, okay, well, what's your ministry? What's my ministry? What's it? And people talk about their ministry. Well, my ministry is the gift of wisdom. No, it's not. No. That is not a calling. And it's also not a gift of the Spirit. It is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. There is no such thing as the ministry calling of the gift of knowledge. It's not in there. It's not in Scripture. See, this is easy to settle if you just get people to read the Bible and decide they want to believe what God said. It's not a hard thing. Let me just admit, confess something here. I realize that I am banging my head against decades of traditions by teaching this. I know it. But what let me just pose this question to you. And just be honest, okay? What is the Bible saying? As you're sitting there right now reading it, what is the Bible saying? Does the Bible say it is the gift of wisdom? Does the Bible say it is the gift of knowledge? No. It is the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. Now, later on, when we not in this course, but in a couple of courses, we will be defining these. I'm talking line upon line, explicit detail. We are going to explain what all these gifts are, how they manifest, what they mean, etc. and so forth. But for right now, what we want to do is clarify their existence, I guess you could say. So it is not the gift of wisdom or the gift of knowledge. It's the word of wisdom. And the word of knowledge, it is a gift. Okay? The gift of the word of wisdom. The gift of the word of knowledge. This is not James chapter 1 verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God to give it to all men liberally. That is not what this is talking about. This is a move of the Holy Spirit at a specific moment for a specific reason to accomplish a specific purpose. And that's why He gives to a person the word of wisdom for that particular situation. The word of knowledge for that particular circumstance. It is a gift. In other words, how many of you have ever had a birthday party where you didn't get any gifts? Did you beat people up? You know, how dare you come to my party and not bring... No. Gifts are totally dependent upon the one giving the gift. Do you see this? How arrogant would it be to go to the people you've invited to your birthday party and ask them to bring you a gift? I'd like you to come to my birthday party, please, and bring me a gift, please. Thank you. I don't think so. A gift is totally dependent upon the one giving it. Let's look at the gift of faith. The gift of faith is not the same as Romans 10:17. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. One is a gift. The other is accomplished by climbing into the Word of God and saturating yourself in it. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. It does not say the gift of faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. See, whether it's in this room or somebody, God showing me what's coming, people listening to this, I can already tell that some of you are struggling. Whether you're here or somewhere, you know why you're struggling? It's because you have never in your life had anybody break this down for you. That's why you're struggling. All you've heard is somebody, I'm not trying to be mean to your pastor, please, I'm honest, really I'm not. But you guys know what I'm saying is the truth. All you've heard is people stand up and just tell you these things, and nobody's taking you into God's Word to substantiate it. The gift of faith does not come by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. The kind of faith that you're to live by day, the faith, live by faith, not by sight, that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But the gift of faith, it is a gift for a moment in time and ministered by the Holy Spirit, and you can twist the Holy Spirit's arm all you want, but He's not giving that gift to you until He knows for sure it's God's will for that gift to be given to you for that moment. You can't manufacture it. So this is a different kind of faith that operates. I'll say it this way. It operates on a supernatural level. You can't create it on your own. It is a gift that is given by the Holy Spirit for a specific purpose. Gifts of healing. Working of miracles. Prophecy. Excuse me, discerning of spirits, diverse tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. Now, there are some people that teach that this is basically like French or German or Spanish or whatever, and that you'll instantly be able to speak in that language, or you'll instantly be able to interpret that. That is not what this is talking about. Now, I'm not saying God couldn't do that, okay? I'm not saying He couldn't instantly give you the ability to speak in Chinese. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is that it's not what this is talking about, but people teach it. People say this is talking about God immediately giving you the ability to speak in a language that otherwise you'd have to go to school for years and learn how to talk. That is not what this is talking about. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Diverse tongues and interpretation of tongues. Now again, we're going to go into more detail about these gifts later on and explain them in minute detail as far as what they are and how they operate and why. The reason that these gifts were operating, I want you to look up here in verse 7. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Let me rephrase this every man, and it's correct. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each of you to profit with all. What do you mean with all? For the benefit of people, the body of Christ, and the lost. Because the lost see a demonstration of God's power. Hopefully it's going to draw them to the cross of Christ to be born again. In other words, what he's saying here in verse 7 is the manifestation of these gifts that are given to each of you, it is not for your benefit and personal promotion. It is for the benefit of the kingdom of God to accomplish kingdom purposes to draw attention to Jesus Christ. It's not just so God can puff you up and make you something that you're not. And it's not because God loves you more. But let me show you down here at the end. verse 11. But all these what? All these gifts? Worketh that one in itself, same Spirit. In other words, He's the one that's working these gifts in you. In other words, now think. If you were living day to day at the Paul level of anointing, or the Peter level of anointing, or the Jesus, believe in me, you can do the works that I do level of anointing, you're not going to sit around and wait for verse 11 to happen in your life. All these worketh that one and self-same Spirit. In other words, you are totally dependent upon Him to operate by the will of God at a specific moment to work this gift in you, through you, because you are so spiritually immature, you are not at a level of anointing to where the Holy Spirit can release this flow of anointing in you on a continual basis to where you can say, such as I have ongoing in my life, give I to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk, stand up, jump, leap. Let's go into the temple and worship God. See, again, this is something that the body of Christ hasn't heard. We basically heard gifts. Sit around and wait for it. And if it happens, it happens. Yet God's Word is really revealing different levels of anointing that we can walk in. This church of immaturity was dependent upon gifts. But when you're conforming to the image of Christ, you're not dependent upon gifts. You're walking in anointing. And so many of us have not heard this kind of teaching that it's like, what? Where do you come up with this? John 14:12. If you believe in me, the works that I do, not the gifts I operate in, the works that I do, you shall do also. But you've got to come to that Christ level of spiritual maturity and anointing. And it's possible. If it weren't possible, He wouldn't say that you could do it if you believe in me. In other words, the more that we conform to that image is the more that we'll be able to do those works. Not be dependent upon the operation of an occasional gift of the Holy Spirit manifesting in our lives. That's the direction that I'm pressing toward. And I would hope that's the direction that you're going to be pressing toward too. And here's the crazy thing about it. There are Christians out there that will tell you that this is a nut teaching. It's crazy. It doesn't make any sense. You've got to be crazy to believe such a thing. What? I got to be crazy to believe John 14:12, where Jesus said the works that He did, I can do also. You tell me I have to be crazy, then praise God, I'll be crazy. I want to get crazier. I'll be insane for Jesus. Hallelujah. But do you see what I'm saying? That there is a difference in this? There's a difference between doing the works and being totally dependent upon the Holy Spirit making a decision to manifest a work through. You know why He wasn't able to manifest all the time through them? It's because of their immaturity. He knew if He kept releasing that kind of power through them on a continual basis, they were going to keep drawing people to themselves and increasing the division in that church. And this is what Paul is talking about. He's saying, let me explain to you why it is that today Bob operated by this gift of faith. And Sue operated by the word of wisdom. And Bill operated by the word of knowledge. And Steve operated by the gifts of healing. And then last week, Steve didn't do anything. But Billy did. And Aaron did. And Ruthie did. You see what I'm saying? What he's telling them there is, this is why it's only happening to each of you on an occasional basis, why it's not a continual flow. It's because you guys are so immature, the Holy Spirit has to sit back and wait and operate these gifts through you. It isn't that God didn't want them operating in a continual anointing, but their pride was keeping them from operating at that level of anointing where God desired. Paul's trying to, that's why in chapter 14, he starts teaching about, well, that's why in chapter 13, he follows up chapter 12 with chapter 13 talking about the love of God, meaning, here's the goal that we're headed toward. So what if you have gifts manifesting? So what if you speak in tongues? If you're not operating at the God level of love, then who are you impressing? It's not about you, it's about God. And now, chapter 14, let me tell you how to get to the place of this continual flow of anointing. If you pray in tongues, you will edify yourself into that place of God's anointing, into that place of being able to do the works instead of just operating by occasional gifts. See, there's a flow in this whole thing. But when's the last time we ever heard this? When's the last time anybody taught us these things? We show up to church hoping for gifts to manifest. Hey, listen. Don't think I'm standing up here preaching to you and excluding myself. No, I'm sitting right there beside you. You understand this? I just happen to be the one delivering this message. But I'm right there with you. I am still pressing in that direction. I am still growing and maturing. I am still applying 1 Corinthians 14 for the edification. And so he says, listen, here are these gifts. These are the gifts of the Spirit. Well, in chapter 12, verse 5, he says, and there are differences or diversities of administrations, but the same Lord. These are the gifts administered and managed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, leave your place here in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll come back. But if you look in Ephesians chapter 4, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8, it says, wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, that's speaking of Jesus, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And then in verse 11, it identifies these gifts. And some of these, now I'm going to paraphrase for the sake of teaching. And some of these gifts that he gave are apostles. Some of these gifts he gave are called prophets. Some of these gifts are evangelists, some are pastors, and some are teachers. And we'll get into the rest of this later on, but we just wanted to identify, you know, these gifts, these ministry gifts, if you will, in verse 11. You'll notice that these gifts are different than the gifts identified in 1 Corinthians 12, 7 through 11. That's because, as Paul puts it, these are the diversities of the administrations of the Lord. The apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher identified there in verse 11. So what he says in verse 4 is, look, there are gifts of the Spirit, and here they are. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom, etc., and so forth. There are also gifts that are given to you by the Lord, but I'm going to call them administrations. They're not gifts as in power gifts, if you will, of the Holy Spirit. These are ministry gifts, where you administer ministry into the lives of people. These are given by the Lord. He is the one who oversees and manages these particular gifts. Apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher. Now in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, look at verse 6. And there are diversities or differences of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. So in verse 6, in verse 5, he's talking about the Holy Spirit and His gifts. In verse 5, verse 4, the Holy Spirit and His gifts. Verse 5, the gifts of the Lord, or the gifts of Jesus, the administrations of the Lord. Then in verse 6, he's talking about God and says, there are diversities of operations. Okay, diversities of operations, well, what are you talking about? Well, basically what he's saying is this. There are various ways that the gifts of the Holy Spirit manifest. And there are various ways that the gifts of the Lord operate. Various ways that the gift of the pastor, that ministry gift, operates. Various ways that the ministry gift of evangelists... How many of you know not all evangelists operate the same way? Now, I mean, let me just give you a real simplified example. Some evangelists, they never really go outside their home state. And then some travel the world. See what I mean? So, I mean, that's a very simplified explanation. But there are various ways the gifts of the Lord operate, but God blends them all together according to His will. Okay? The gifts of the Spirit are supposed to empower the gifts of the Lord. Now let me show you this. Turn to Acts chapter 2. We'll see an example. Acts chapter 2. In verse 22, ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know. So here we see, and we can go back and we can take a look in the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I mean, obviously we won't do that tonight, but as you read through there, you can see gifts of the Spirit operating through the ministry of Jesus. Over in Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And take a look at verse 20. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. So here we see gifts of the Spirit. Now obviously he doesn't list all the gifts of the Spirit here. But what kind of signs do you think would be following? I mean, that list of the gifts of the Spirit, that pretty well encompasses everything you could think of as far as a sign is concerned. Then if you look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Look at one verse. Verse 12. It says, truly, the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So the gifts of the Spirit were operating through the apostle Paul. And the others in the New Testament as well, as far as the apostles are concerned. But let me show you a couple of other places. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll just throw these out too as food for thought. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Put another way that would be correct, the kingdom of God is not simply about words that you speak, but it's also about a demonstration of power. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, Paul says, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. Now, if you turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, here's what we're seeing. It says in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. Well, we've seen those gifts of the Spirit in verses 7 through 11. There are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Well, we've seen His gifts, His administrations, what we call the ministry gifts given by the Lord over there in Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 6, it says there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. In other words, here's God up in heaven. And He's saying, okay, now look, Jesus, Holy Spirit, here's what we're going to do. We have all these different ministries that people need to fulfill. And Jesus, you're going to be in charge of that. I want you to be the ministry gift manager. Now, Holy Spirit, we also want demonstrations of power. And you know how we've operated in the past. So what I want you to do is administer and be the manager of the demonstrations of power. And here's what I'm going to do. These ministry gifts, the pastor and the teacher and the rest of them, and these demonstrations of power, the word of wisdom, the healings and miracles and so forth, I'm going to take these power gifts, demonstration gifts, and I'm going to take these ministry gifts, and I am going to work these all together according to my perfect will, so that the kingdom benefits. And the purpose is for people to be drawn to you, son, to accept you, and then after they've accepted you, to grow into your image, to conform to you, so that they can demonstrate you to everybody else they come in contact with. So that's what it's talking about here in verse 6, the diversities of operations, meaning diversities of the operations of the demonstration gifts, or the gifts of the Spirit, and the ministry gifts, And God works them all together. Now let's take this a step further. God's master plan for ministry. Here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 27 through 28. Now read this closely. Very important. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. You see that? You are the body of Christ and you're members in particular of that body. In verses 12 through 26, he's giving an analogy leading up to this. And he's talking about the human body. And he talks about how that, first off, in the body of Christ, we're all part of that same body, but we're not all the same member in the body of Christ. Or in other words, we don't all play the same role or have the same function. And he says, in using the analogy of the human body, in verse 15, he says, if the foot says, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And the ear, if it's not an eye, can it say that it's not a part of the body? You see what he's doing here, the analogy he's drawing. He says, you've got a human body, and your human body has eyes, ears, a nose, feet, hands, etc. Now listen closely to this. That's it. In other words, you do not have paws. Do you understand what I'm saying? You do not have a trunk. Trunks exist, do they not? But they are on elephants. They are not on you. You have a nose. You have ears. You have fingers. You have toes. In other words, if you stand in front of the mirror, you will see what you have. And we're not saying it's always pretty, but you will see what you have. And that's all you have. Do you understand? That's it. Don't be telling somebody that you have tusks. You don't have tusks. Don't be telling somebody that you have a tail. You do not have a tail. You have what you have that is a part of your body. With that in mind, look what he says in verse 27. You are the body of Christ and members in particular. Just like your toes and your fingers and your nose and your eyes and your ears are members in particular of your human body, you, as the body of Christ, are members in particular of that body. Okay, that's exciting. I like that. But what does it mean? Verse 28. And I'll do a little paraphrasing here. And God has set some in the church. What is the church? The church is the body of Christ, is it not? And God has set some in the church. God has set some in the body. Or, now listen closely to this and it's correct. You see it. And some of the members that have been set in the body of Christ are first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles. Now, the miracle, we're going to teach on this later on, not in this course. The miracles corresponds with the evangelist. Just real briefly, what are the key signs of a true evangelist? Miracles that take place. Then gifts of healings. Now, do you see how it's gifts plural? Of healings plural? Do you see that? If you're not reading a version of the Bible that has gifts plural and healings plural in this 28th verse, it's up to you to pray about and reconsider the Bible that you're reading. Because they are plural on purpose. This is not, look up in verse 9, gifts plural of healing singular. Do you see that? I hope you do. Do you see that? Verse 9, gifts plural of healing singular. We're not talking typos here. In verse 28, it is gifts plural of healings plural. This is not the same thing as the gift of the Spirit up in verse 9. He is talking about his administrations in the body of Christ. Callings, if you will. The gifts, plural, of healings, plural, in verse 28 corresponds with the pastor. Now again, this is when we get into the ministry gifts, we're going to explain this in great detail. You'll see it very clearly. Helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Okay, now what did we talk about here a few moments ago? In the body, in your body, you have what you have, correct? You do not have a trunk, you have a nose. You do not have paws, you have feet and hands, you have fingers. In other words, you have what you have, and what you have, that's it. What yours is the same as mine and the same as hers. Our bodies are the same. You're not going to introduce anything else into your body. In other words, sure, nowadays with medical science, they can cut something off somebody else and glue it onto you. But you understand what I'm saying? You can try to create something that's not really supposed to be there. Likewise, this list that he is giving you right here, verse 28, this is it. This is a list of the members of the body of Christ. Yeah, but I'm called... If you promise to bear with me and hang around long enough till we get into that course explaining the ministry gifts. Yeah, but God's called me to be the worship leader. I don't see that. You're right. Yeah, but God's called me to be the associate pastor. I don't see that. You're right. Yeah, but God's called me to be, a nurse. But I don't see that in there. You're right. It's not in there. Hold on. Are you trying to tell me that some of the stuff that my friends and I have been trying to do, it's not really a ministry calling? What is in the Bible? What is in God's Word? I never heard this before. Wait, you've never heard anybody tell you to look in the Bible? What have they been telling you to look at? What have they been telling you to read? What have they been telling you to listen to? How many of you guys see what I'm saying here? Yes, but I've never heard this. I bet you've read it before. If you've read the Bible, you've read this. What does he say? You are the body. You're it. And you are the members. You're it. This is it. You're the members. Now let me tell you what these members are. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, helps, governments, and this last one he's got listed here, diversities of tongues. You say, you want to know what God's called you to be? We have really narrowed the list down tremendously. Yes, but God's called me to be a bishop. Really? Well, I know that word bishop is here in the Bible, but is it listed here as being a member in particular? Is it? See, this is where it gets really testy, because we've been trained all our lives to believe things that aren't even listed in this scripture. They aren't even in here. Yeah, but I'm called to be a deacon. No, you can serve in your church as a deacon, but is a deacon listed here as a member? Do you see what I'm saying? And again, this is where the confusion comes in, because we've got people that are preaching and teaching you can be all these things that aren't even listed here, that God hasn't even identified as a ministry calling that's been set in the body of Christ. And so you've got, this is one of the reasons why so many Christians are frustrated. It's because they're trying to be something and call themselves a ministry calling. I've got the ministry up, and God never established it as a ministry. See, there's a difference between serving in an area and operating in a ministry. But as Christians, we really have not been taught this. We've been taught whatever you think you want to be, that's what you ought to pursue. And God says, no, wait a minute. I'm telling you right here, you are the body of Christ and your members in particular. And here are the particular members. Here they are. If you want to know what to pray about as far as your calling is concerned, you've got a short list. All you have to do is go to God and say, well, God, it says right here, apostle, prophet, evangelist, and the evangelist corresponds with the miracles, and the gifts of healings corresponds with the pastor. So I have apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, helps, governments. Okay, God, what am I? We got a short list to work on here. And God says, whew, You're making it so much easier for me. Because instead of praying and asking me to make you a better such and such that I never called you to be, now we can identify what I have called you to be because you are the body of Christ and your members in particular. Here are the members. See, really, guys, it's not that hard. I've been where you are. Sitting here and reading this and thinking, yeah, I know what it says, but I've never been taught this. But I know what it says. I've always heard differently. I see this right here in front of my eyes. But God, this can't be what you mean. Because in my church, we were always taught such and such. And God said, with all due respect to your church, I'm not changing my word. I've said what I've said, and this is it. And your life's going to be easier if you just follow what I've said. Now, your ministry will be categorized from this list. Now, guys, listen. There is a huge difference between a vocation and a ministry calling. Huge difference. You can be a nurse, and you can live your whole life working as a nurse, and that's okay. Because not everybody's going to be called to quit secular employment. But you can have the job of being a nurse, or the job of being an attorney, or the job of, just pick a job. You can have that vocation, but you can still operate fully as a teacher. You can still operate fully as an evangelist. Later on, when we're teaching about how these vocations and callings can work together, you're going to see this very clearly. But just because you know you're called to be an evangelist doesn't mean you have to quit your job. It means God may be telling you, look, you keep that job. That's, you're going to retire from that kind of industry. That's what you're going to do. But I'm also going to turn you into a powerful evangelist if you just let me. So you can do both. You don't have to quit your job. But it's, again, this goes back to hearing God's voice and knowing what He's saying and following His will and His path. But your ministry calling is categorized here from this list. And that word helps, boy, wait till we start teaching about this. I mean, literally, this word helps. It's the receiving of remuneration. That's a big word for money. How many of you have always been taught helps is nothing more than helping out in the church? Anybody can do that. Can't they? Anybody can do that. These are ministry callings. You can't be an apostle unless God's called you to be an apostle. Or you can try. You can't be a pastor unless God's called you to be a pastor. A lot of people try. Do you see what I'm saying? So when it comes to the thing of helps, it's got to mean more than just pitching in and helping clean the church on work day. It's got to mean more than just helping in the nursery. It has to mean more than just volunteer effort. There's got to be more to it. Well, there is, and we will be talking about this later on. Glory to God, we're running out of T-I-M-E time. Hallelujah. Let me see here. Nope, can't do it. We're going to stop. Listen, I'm not rushing through this course, guys. I absolutely am not. Because this course is extremely vital. What I said earlier, I'm going to say it again. This course is absolutely pivotal for you not only discovering what you're really called to do, your true ministry calling, but it's also pivotal in you fulfilling that calling. It's pivotal in helping you know whether you're supposed to quit your secular employment and go full-time. This course right here, honestly, I speak from experience, it is a key to helping you become everything that you need to become. Now, the next time that we're together, we will be picking up. We are definitely going to do some review. I think you can figure that out. And then we'll pick up from this point, and we will go forward and carry on. So, Father, right now I want to thank you so much for your love. I thank you for your word. Now, God, listen, I know what it's like to hear some of these things and think, wait a minute, that's not what I've always heard. But yet, Father, the more we get into your word, we can see that a lot of the stuff that we've heard, it hasn't been true. Help us get past the traditions that we've always heard, these things that people have told us, the common beliefs about things. Father, we want to be right according to you. We want to be right according to your word. So help us break free from anything of our past that doesn't line up with your word and your truth so that we can truly walk in the fullness of everything that you desire for us. Jesus, we bless you. We praise you. The word of God has gone forth tonight, Father. We just receive it sown deeply into our hearts, and it will, we say, produce the fruit that you desire. Thank you for watching over us as we go home. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.